Okay, this is the Sustainability Commission meeting. It's March 10th, 2020. I'll go ahead and do the roll call. Julie Moeller.
Here.
Eric Simon. Shannon Roberts.
Here.
Beth Chang. Andrew Basney. Lisa Gillis. Susan Charette.
Here.
Ellie Raitt. Okay, we don't have any public comment. There's adoption of meeting minutes on here. I printed out the ones from January and put them in front of you. I don't think they were emailed.
Okay.
But they're pretty straightforward. They're the ones that Shannon put together.
Oh, right, we had looked at these before.
Did we already approve these? I didn't.
We didn't.
Were they emailed out earlier?
I think maybe there wasn't a quorum last time, so we didn't approve them. I feel maybe.
Oh, that was probably it. Would you like to do a vote to approve them, or?
Yeah.
Just go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Move
to approve them. Okay. Julie Moeller.
Yes.
Shannon Roberts?
Yes.
Beth Chang?
Yes.
Susan Charette?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. No public. I'll just start. Susan, do you want to start with public comment? Or, I mean, not public comment, commissioner comments?
Okay. I was unable to go to the Planet Green meeting. Sorry, I was out of town. The only commentary I saw after that is there was a follow-up meeting or committee put together to discuss what to do with Oak Park's pile of money that the Environmental Commission has from their
Tax?
From which tax?
Is it from the bag tax or from the?
No, from the.
From the energy?
The energy, yeah, I think that's where it came
sorry,
from.
Sorry, can you explain that a little bit more, what energy thing?
I don't totally understand this, but there was a time when there was a percentage from some energy that people were opting into.
Right now, through the aggregation program that they have with MC Squared, they get a percentage back.
And it's somewhere around, like, they have like $1 million. So they're.
Yeah. $1 million?
I think it's somewhere. I mean, that's not like, if that's going in the notes, that's not an exact number. But they have a substantial amount of money.
And I think and it has to be used. Energy programs
right.
and such. So
exactly. Yeah. So it goes through the Environmental
Commission
there.
So. Yeah.
So. And then beyond that, let's see, I just submitted some Earth Day events in the village. I reached out to Dick
Alton,
who forwarded to Amy Rosenthal to see if there was a list of what was going on in Oak Park, because it's pretty substantial, and they said they didn't have a link or anything, but it's supposed to come out in the Wednesday Journal April 8th.
Yeah,
so I don't know if anything will be available prior to that. I can
we were going to compile a list and then I was going to share it with them.
Okay. Yeah, so
yeah, did you send the list to me?
I did.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, they had three items from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think
yeah.
That.
So I've got one from Lisa for Trinity. District 90 really not doing much. There's not as much as we thought. I mean, April 2nd is Dominican and stuff like that. So we'll go ahead and list those, but they are going to do that as well. So
yeah. I don't know if the River Force will end up in this Oak Park document.
We
could send.
I was supposed to send it to Amy.
Okay, yeah,
it's supposed to be part
okay,
of that.
So that would be included.
Yeah.
And then I also, I circulated beyond the bin. I saw one note in there, so I wasn't sure. Beth,
yes.
You should have gotten a message about that. I sent it to Lisa. You didn't receive an email inviting you to look at it?
Doesn't mean I didn't receive
okay.
it, but I might not have read
okay,
it.
I can resend that. I just wondered if anybody wanted to comment, because it'd be nice to have that ready, by Earth Day as well. To
sure. So I'm sorry, that's for an event or a document you sent?
It's a
document
called Beyond
the
Bin.
Updated?
Yeah, and it's on the Google Drive, and so I just, when I share it, was supposed to send an email.
Okay.
So I can, resend
I have
that
it,
too.
And I'm just haven't had a chance to look at it.
Okay, there was like one comment in there, so I didn't know who that. Actually, that might have been from Laura Dirks, because she had looked at it too. So maybe nobody looked at it. Yeah, and that's it.
Great. Beth, do you have any updates?
Only just that it was really inspirational going to the launch party. So thank you for inviting us. And, you know, I was really, it was nice to see Sue back in her element speaking mm-hmm. about the young filmmakers. But no, I don't have other comments.
Good. Shannon, what's, do you have any comments or, yeah?
Not really anything.
Yeah. You want to say something? You want to say hello into the microphone?
Maybe later.
Maybe later.
I attended the Lingua Women Voters forum this morning. It was just an update on River Forest, what we're working on. And then also Dino Andrews was there and Laura Dirks from their commission. It was, you know, League of Women Voters Environmental Committee, and I'd say maybe 15 people that attended to hear. Really, the conversation took on the ordinance that they're trying to pass in Oak Park regarding the ban of styrofoam and single-use plastics, you know, especially with restaurants. And so people had a lot of questions about that and comments. So let's see.
Did you say the other speakers were Laura Dirks?
Dino Andrews, the Oak Park trustee, and Laura Dirks from the Environment and Energy Commission in Oak Park. And it was hosted by the League of Women Voters. Yeah, I think that's really the only other meetings I went to. Went to the village board meeting last night. Oh, on February 24th, Lisa and Beth were here with me when we presented the packet to the village board. They really, I'm not sure how many people read it really, but they didn't really have that many questions. I made two recommendations to the board and that I'd like to see done this year. One was renewing the waste contract with extending it with Roy Strom and not doing the recycling extravaganza and offering different services that would make up for not doing the recycling extravaganza. And then number two is pursuing aggregation so that we can meet our obligations, well, non-binding obligation for renewable energy. So to start looking at that. So at last night's meeting, the board said yes to go ahead with looking at what would entail an enhanced contract with Strom. So it doesn't, you know, so that we may renew if we can reach agreement. It would be an extension for 5 years, starting 2021. Sorry,
2022.
Yeah. May, yeah. So we're doing this kind of early, but it was all precipitated by not doing the recycling extravaganza. Because as you know, the recycling extravaganza was, you know, it's a lot of work and it's really not sustainable in its current form. And in fact, I just submitted the document for the electronics that were collected, and I've been telling people 42,000. It was actually 48,000 pounds in the document that they send it to a company that has to follow all the regulations, and they submitted the form. It had to be done by March 1st, and I just got it from last May. That's that copy that I copied you on. Yeah, just for your file.
Oh.
But it was, I mean, crazy that they just finally processed everything. And so anyway, it was 48,000 pounds, and that's a lot to do in 5 hours, so I think we need to kind of visit something else. So we will be looking at that and hopefully have something within 60 days. It's not a sure thing. It's just, the staff will be sitting down, and I will with Roy Strom and company, and trying to figure out how we can enhance our pickups and if they could do electronics or what kind of chargers there would be. So more to come on that. Okay. And I will just move right along in that I gave, John printed these so that you guys wouldn't have to print them at home. Now you probably, this is kind of the plan for the Sustainability Commission. It's also kind of a history as people come on and off, as we know. It's a working document. You'll probably see typos in here. Things can be changed. But what I'd really like everybody to do is go through and find their pages, highlight them. And then really moving forward, this is your, these are your pages. These are your pages to update next year. These are your pages to make sure information is on the, on our page is updated. So if you're in charge of Beyond the Bin, you probably, you need to go and look on the website and make sure that it's posted and it's accurate information. So that's part of the process of owning these pages. We still need to find a place for this to live, but we're not going to update it every time. I would encourage you just to make notes on this document so that you know, next year at this time when we present to the board all the things that we've done, you know, we can say, oh, we've retired this program, you know, Parkways for Pollinators, this is what we did, so that we can just build on this and we're not recreating it every year. I was going to say, so this is kind of your work plan, I would say. And yeah, so you should highlight their pages, and I want to let you know that you're responsible for keeping these and also keeping up with your contacts. And what that means is really just, you know, checking in, you know, like with somebody at the library or trying to make a, you know, a, if you know a program's coming up, you know, reach out to your contacts and see if there's some type of collaboration we could do or that type of thing. Just like, you know, you did for, you called, Lisa called Trinity, you know, to see if they were doing anything for Earth Day and just kind of touching base throughout the year. So that's another thing to keep up. And then, so this is your work document. And then I think we all should just make sure that, you know, we know that as a commission and as a village, we've signed the Chicago Climate Charter Pledge, and we just signed the Planet Green Renewable Energy Pledge, which reiterates the Chicago, which means we will be 100% renewable by 2050. Okay, so you should know that the River Forest has made that pledge, and that we, yeah. So I would just say to make sure you stay abreast of the bike plan, the comp plan, and if some of you may not know this, but I did go through, and on the beginning of each page, like for energy, I went through the action matrix goals that are part of the comp plan, and I put the goals that relate to this goal. So in the action matrix plan, it said, you know, to plant X number of plants or something, and I would put that next to the Parkway for Pollinators. Does that make sense? Beth, you look puzzled.
Yeah, I do. What are
so the action matrix plan is part of the comp plan. And it rates things as easy or difficult. And they also rate them as to do now or to do, you know, in the future. So
I'm sorry, which page is the?
Well, so let's just say the. Okay, the first page you see energy, where it's actually a description of a project.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Underneath there it says action matrix goals.
Okay.
So rooftop solar, if we pursue that, it matches the goals 8, 2, 4, 2, 5, 2, 7, 2, 8, 2, 9, 30, and 38.
Okay, so you just added that for each major area, not
yeah,
for every
so
single
that
page.
We can,
okay.
The idea is that we're supporting what the village has already sure. confirmed in their comp plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so energy goals meet those goals. And then if you go to the first page of transportation, there are action matrix goals there listed.
Perfect. Thank you.
And this is just to kind of keep us so that we can keep going back to the goals and make sure that we're on track. Okay, so it's another system. So keep that under your pillow. Visit it every day. No. And I will just quickly give, and we can talk about the how the metrics are going to play into this, and we can have a conversation in just a little bit. I want to give Andy's update that he sent me, and I'll give Ellie's. Andy said that he is in discussions with Trinity Pierce, the Chicago Region Trees Initiative Stewardship Coordinator at the Morton Arboretum. I'll give this to you, Beth.
Oh, okay.
About planning and scheduling a River Forest tree walk. And I have also reached out to John Anderson about having the tree planting be assisted by Public Works and for the group to instead plant trees that they would be planting along the parkway anyway. So, do you have any update on that? Do you think that's a possibility? Or?
We've just narrowed it down to sometime in early May, probably on a Friday.
Yeah, May 8th or May 15th.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just a matter of picking the location at this point.
And I thought it might be kind of fun if Flamingo Fridays are happening again. Maybe we could even do it later in the day, and then people could go to Flamingo Friday and kind of keep it going, kind of combine the social aspect of that. And then Andy has also attached a draft of the sample resolution that was passed out, and I'll be sharing that with you later. So those are his updates. And then Ellie is at her first water polo match game. I don't know what you call them. And she has been, I emailed Mr. Garski a bit ago about meeting in person to talk about the supply order. He still hasn't gotten back to her. There was kind of a glitch. You know, the PTO is fine with her supplies. And then Mr. Garski said that he wasn't 100% supportive of the plan, so she's trying to work this out. She's reaching out to the two elementary school PTO presidents and see that there's a better route as they use single classrooms for the whole day. Let's see, it's a better route as they use single classrooms. Yeah. So she continues to work on that. Concerning Earth Day, Amy Bartucci from Seven Generations Ahead has asked a fellow student of mine, Emma Sage, and I to work on an Earth Day plan for OPRF. We would like to work with local sustainability organizations, and we're hoping to get information on what River Forest is doing concerning the day. Composting at OPRF launched in early February and is going far smoother than expected. 74% of the waste has been diverted from landfills in only this month. So that's really exciting. So what she's doing is the supplies. I think what's interesting with what Ellie is doing at the school is she's kind of learning that you have an idea, you kind of run, you do it, you read a roadblock, you know, it's kind of like all the programs that we do. You know, you meet a roadblock, you work around it, you try to educate people what the problem is. So I admire her for continuing to work on that and push through that. So she will have a report on that later. And yep. So Lisa, I know you just walked in, but do you have any commissioner comments?
Sure. I guess I should speak into the microphone. Anyway, I attended the Midwest Grows Green conference call yesterday. They actually, Ryan Anderson, who is our key contact, is taking a 6-month sabbatical to walk the Appalachian Trail. So they are supporting him in his absence through people from Wisconsin. So we're not going to get necessarily a lot of on-the-ground support toward that end. He did ask for any support in tabling at their events that they're doing in support of the Chicago Midwest Grows Green Week, which is at the end of April. They will be tabling, I believe, in Naperville and one other location. They did share a lot of information about their kind of land and lawn toolkit. There is a lot of support by park districts. I was disappointed to not see any mention of River Forest. I don't think we're, you know, kind of big active supporters. I know that we do adhere to being chemical free with our park district land as well as our school land, which is maintained by the park district. They've kind of, you know, created some synergy there. So hopefully in the future we can try to, you know, kind of get I would like to see our park district more involved because I think the PR is good for us. I think the PR basically brings homeowners that are interested in moving to a community where there, you know, is chemical-free lawn care. So that's the first thing. Secondly, I did reach out to Trinity about Earth Day, as well as Dominican about Earth Day, as well as Concordia. As usual, did not hear from Concordia, but Dominican and Trinity came through. Trinity will be dedicating their edible garden that they got through the Deep Roots Project based on a grant from the Sustainability Commission. They will also be dedicating their two pollinator gardens that they got through the Village of River Forest as well, with a ceremony on, I think I said April 20th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Monday.
And Dominican has a very full schedule. I'm supposed to get together with the new lead of the sustainability, the new head of sustainability for Dominican. We're trying to connect either next week or the week after. I'm sure because she's taking on new responsibilities, she's crazy, and then when she's available, I'm not, but we'll work that through. I don't remember
Sadusky?
Her name.
Yes, Mary Sadusky, I think.
Right. She used to, she's taken on an expanded role because Kathy Ninchi has stepped down from that role. Last but not least, I've been working with the Deep Roots Project and with the library and Midwest Grows Green for our Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family initiative at the library. It'll be an hour and a half conversation with David Murphy and Vitas Paradinskas, who's filling in for Ryan for Midwest Grows Green. I'll pass around kind of our flyer. It's going to be Sunday, March 22nd from 2 to 3:30 p.m. One of the things that we're doing is obviously, I think the library is going to post the flyer. Mm-hmm. It'll be in their newsletter, and I am sending an email to all of the people that have pledged in the that have taken the Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family pledge to let them know of this event, and at the same time to confirm that they're still adhering to the pledge like we do every year.
Great.
So we're trying to fill the room. If you can come, please do. If you want to, I can forward this flyer to everybody. I don't know if there's a way to put it in the Facebook page for the village.
That still goes to Jonathan. Send it to Jonathan
Pape. Okay.
And maybe we could you could CC John and then ask him to also put it on our page. And I put it in the Green News for the three people that read that. So if you send it to all of us, I think you and Jonathan Pape, they'll make sure that they please put it on the Facebook.
So Facebook and then the...
our page for the village.
Okay, the website.
Mm-hmm.
So Lisa, this looks fantastic. I especially love the picture. But before it goes into wider circulation, if it's possible to correct the typo in the Sustainability Commission name.
Oh, yeah. I can ask Francesca. This was this was done by...
Yeah.
The library for
it's
us.
Beautiful.
So it was really, really pretty darn easy to pull together. I was very thrilled, but I will let them know about that typo. Thank you. Last but not least, and I don't know if that's...
Got it.
Yeah, right.
If we want to talk about, I brought in all my tabling information.
We can talk about tabling.
I don't know if that comes now or if I do
Let's
that
later.
Let's
do it now.
Do we do it later?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back in January, I had pulled together... after doing some tabling, I felt the need to kind of pull together some instruction, and it really then kind of led to an assessment of all of our tabling materials, so I will kind of pass this around as well. The front is really just kind of an overview of kind of the purpose of this document, an overview of the Sustainability Commission, tabling materials and the storage of the materials, and on the back is an initial draft of all of our materials.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see, I was able to basically identify materials for, and I have to update this actually to reflect our final strategies, but it's still the same kind of, I think, basic areas. With regard to reduced waste and increased waste diversion, I think we have a lot of information to share. With regard to sequestering carbons and enhancing support for ecosystems, I think we have a lot of material to share there. With regard to measuring our success, I think the same thing. With regard to the Planet Green report cards and our sustainability report cards, that we will do in the future. Where I could use some help is replace fossil fuel sources with renewable energy, expand green transport and mobility options, and protect water sources, as well as reduce waste. So My next step really is, and Julie, you and I went back and forth on this. I did not get to update it like I had hoped last night. Mm-hmm. But I can certainly add in, you know, kind of all of your suggestions. And if anybody else has suggestions, the thought would be to take, because right now we do have from Fresh Time, we have a lot of bags that we can give out. But here are tabling and things. They're in bags.
And so, I need that. I'll take it because I need it for Friday. For tabling.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, I will give them to you gladly.
Thank you.
But I think I will see if I have at home some sort of kind of bin to put them in so that they, you know, we can organize them. And I do think, again, we need to kind of update them, you know, potentially if we could get a permanent, like, sample in-home compost bin, because I know we borrow yours.
I have one.
But,
you okay.
Can have, and we'll, I guess we'll take yours.
You can have mine. And then... applications, we have applications, but for people to sign up for composting, but really the best way to do it is online, because otherwise, like, we then have someone's information. And to be honest, what I did one time when somebody wanted to sign up for curbside, I just pulled it up on my phone and had them sign up. So I don't know if we really, I mean, we can have, yeah, we can talk about that, you know, paper application. I mean, we could give it to somebody to fill out.
You could have it as a sample.
Yeah, so they could see, yeah.
Yeah, you'll, this see, is, you'll this see that some of these are kind of samples or nominal amounts in case somebody wants it. I think, to your point, most people are going online.
Yeah.
But just to, you know, basically if someone, because again, I think even older people would prefer paper. And some people want to have it handy.
Yeah, so,
I just
we
think we have to be prepared
form.
For both. But I don't want to overprint anything.
Yeah, right.
Because
this
we
is great.
Are the Sustainability Commission.
And we can all attach this to our nice packet. So, and, you know, the Beyond the Bin, we'll have that looked at in by Earth Day so that we can print that out. We're still kind of revising that.
Right. But and right now...
We have
some copies already. So for you for Friday, we do have Beyond the Bin, if you can bring your compost bin. I haven't gotten Rick to do the Say No to Straws business cards. I just have to get cardstock for that. I think we have event composting signage. Again, just samples. If you bring your computer, you can do the slideshow, which is always kind of fun. We do have Deep Roots Project PR material. You can also, I guess, pull up the climate victory map if anybody wants to see that. We do have some Midwest Grows Green PR materials. The Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family Pledge, we have that actually in paper application. I brought a couple of these.
Good.
And I don't know if we have the report cards, but we can, you know, we can certainly print those off if we wanted to. The Planet Green report cards.
Yeah, I could even ask them. Or maybe you could ask them if they had. Yeah. But it might be, yeah, we could even ask Gary for some. But that's great. Thank you, Lisa.
And any thoughts you have on that, I welcome them.
Again,
so I'll be tabling
it looks amazing.
Friday.
And thank you for working out the counts, too, which is, I know, something that people often don't think about. But so I take it that this is part of maybe what Shannon and I will be working on, the River Force Sustainability Report cards to be created
TBD,
by calendar
yes.
year 2021. Is
or,
that
yeah,
aspiration?
Or something.
Okay.
Yeah, so actually, so thank you very much, Lisa. Do you want to go into talking about metrics and where they stand? So how I've been kind of explaining to people is that, you know, Planet Green is kind of over and that really we try to, through this document, we're trying to do impact and do a kind of a carbon emissions count, or what's the word, portfolio, so that we know what we're working against. So when we say 100% renewable by 2050, what does that mean? You know, and so that's what I tell people we're doing, and then I say that all of our programs should ladder up to either, you know, sequestering or reducing or diverting, or you know, simply not producing carbon. So where I mean. Where
are
we
just
is this still doable? Is this in some
Well, Shannon and I talked a little, so I'll summarize from my point of view, and then Shannon can chime in. Is in terms of tactical next steps, I know Shannon wants to finish the greenhouse gas inventory by getting the 2019 data. To me, the next logical step, and I just don't know how the numbers will turn out, but we need to do it, is to then say, okay, these programs, say we plant X many more square feet of pollinator gardens or something like that, what is, how much impact does that have on greenhouse gas emissions? And, you know, I've mentioned my concern that it might be a sort of a smallish number, but I think we need to, now that we've started down this path, we have to go through that exercise so we have some idea of the actual impact. So I don't know how to run that formula, but if Shannon teaches me, I said I would help her. We thought that we'd probably need to meet one-on-one or pick some of these programs, right, and go through and talk about the impact measures that we want to be able to report on in a year so we can gather that now. And some of those may be, you know, broader than greenhouse gas emissions, because otherwise I think we're limiting ourselves. So what do you want to chime in?
No, Beth, that was perfect. Yeah, I think this was just a thought, you know, so we can certainly measure everything using greenhouse gases now. We have, like, a good inventory, and
yeah,
you can attribute a lot of things to them, but it doesn't need to be the end-all either, right?
Right.
It's more about telling a good story.
It's about telling the story, so, yeah.
Yeah, and, the way I do it at work sometimes,
yeah,
is you can tell them either through economic, social, or environmental-type impacts. So I think one of the thoughts was maybe just, like, doing a quick, like, workshop together, or maybe taking a meeting and spending an hour of that and going through, like, what are our focus initiatives, and let's come up with the metrics that we know we're going to talk about at the end of the year already. So, like, will you guys do all these incredible table and education events? You know, we can, you know, instead of saying we did 25 events this year, we can say we educated 1,000 students and 1,000 residents this year.
Yeah.
By just, like, starting to chalk up some of those numbers and tracking them throughout the year. So it's so the thought was maybe just in the next meeting, or we set a separate time,
we
or
could
a call
just,
in or a virtual call.
We could just do the whole meeting that, because by then, that's a great idea. Because I like that idea. So, like, if we're looking at Lisa's tabling thing, we look at impact. Maybe it's something that we all need to, like, count the people that we talk to. And so by the end of the year, we actually know. Is that kind of what you're saying? And then you could.
And I don't think it needs to be perfect, right? But, like, if you were like, I think I talked to, something reasonable, like 20 or 30 people today, I think we could feel like, like, you count that. And then if we're accumulating all that instead of trying to do it at the year, at the end, we have a report card made.
Yeah, so you can give us that. That way we can feel. I like that idea a lot. So that we, and then it's also like we're not going through all our emails at the end of the year to recap to the board. Oh, yeah, I did something with the League of Women Voters last, March. I can't remember,
Totally. Like, I mean, and you guys, this is so much effort's gone into this. Then it's just, we're just putting, like, little, we can put an Excel sheet together for all this. And then we can just, everyone can punch it in throughout the year. I don't know. That would be the dream.
Okay.
And then that way you
I like
a
the dream.
Report card at the end of the year.
Okay. Okay. That's it. Good. I'm okay with putting that as just the agenda item for next meeting.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
And, maybe before then we could run one. You can work on the 2019 data, which I think you need from John, and then maybe we could work through, like, one example of something, a program, and trying to measure its greenhouse gas impact.
So do you need data for everything, like electricity, gas, water?
It would be all the Planet Green data, and I can, whatever you usually provide to Planet Green, and I owe you, I could send you an email with what.
Yeah, because I forgot that you needed that. So
I didn't really do a good job communicating it to you. So.
Okay. Did I already get the waste numbers?
Yeah.
You gave me all the waste numbers.
We have the waste, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need that one.
Yeah.
It's really electricity, natural gas.
Okay, then I'll just, I'll just have to get that from ComEd and NICOR, and then I can get the water stuff myself.
Yeah,
Yeah, so then I really like, yeah, this idea, because that, yeah, it's a report, our own report card, and it kind of moves things, shows the village how they're doing as well. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, and I think we don't need to limit it. I mean, environmental metrics are great, and we can think about other ways to tell them too. Like,
mm-hmm.
like we did that one metric one time around greenhouse gas reduction, but we turned it into how many cars. That was the equivalent of taking 180 cars off the road.
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's what people respond to. So, you know, what I just find so exciting about this is that then when we do a talk to League of Women Voters, you can say, you know, people say, what's the plan? Because people keep hearing more about carbon and all these, you know, Clean Energy Jobs Act and, you know, the state, and they're like, well, what are you guys doing? You know, like, what's the village doing? And so I think this can answer that question. It's not just about the education, but shows a plan. That's very exciting. So thank you. So good that well, we have the agenda for the next meeting. That's good. So Earth Day, I'm going to just quickly say that I'm going to compile a list. And I'm going to send it to Amy Rosenthal. And, you know, I think we all have enough on our plates. And I go out there and celebrate Earth Day is kind of what I'm going to, you know, say. I'm not going to really plan anything else for us to do. Unless somebody wants us to do something, you know, stand in front of Village Hall on Earth Day or something. But
I think there's enough other things being planned. But I just remembered one commissioner comment is that, you know, I'm supposed to be the contact person with D90. So I'll just mention there's kind of an ongoing conversation. The Wednesday Journal is apparently trying to do like an Earth Day spread about, I don't know if it's only about D90. It might be generally about sustainability curriculum.
I think it's the same article that they're working on with Amy Rosenthal.
Okay.
A big schedule and what schools and the community in general is doing.
So anyway, because I used to be the district liaison for Green for Good, the reporter reached out to me, but now it's back in the hands of the current Green for Good district liaison, Alexis Murphy, and also, you know, the administration, Dr. Condon. And it seems the District 90 is in the midst of finalizing its new strategic plan, and it's not 100% clear where sustainability curriculum will end up in that plan, but it's under discussion, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it's hard for the district. They have a lot of other, they have the intent, and it's something that Julie and I worked on when we were there, but there are a lot of other competing priorities.
Yeah.
So I have a question. So we're, we're gathering all this information, and we're, like, so you have what Trinity's doing, we have what Dominican's doing, you know, we have what, I guess, do we have what anybody else is doing to kind of pull together some sort of celebration across?
Yeah. It's really, and then we'll have the high school, and then what Oak Park's doing. And Oak Park is really asking people to sign a pledge. I mean, the only thing I thought we, you know, I was kind of hoping that we could have the something to announce about the, you know, the waste contract, because, you know, we're not doing a recycling extravaganza. I kind of wanted to, you know, have some type of marketing thing,
mm-hmm.
but I just, you know, there's no guarantee that can get done by Earth Day, so. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll list that the park district's doing the Des Plaines River cleanup, that the compost is available. But yeah, no, we're not really doing anything for the 50th anniversary other, you know.
Can we at least highlight the information that we've received? Because I guess I would say that, like, Trinity now is expecting us to kind of share in some way, shape, or form. So even if it's on the Facebook page and the website.
Oh, well, and the same we'll with share what what we're working on together with Oak Park, the list, and promote that.
But okay.
Yeah. And then it's going to the Wednesday Journal spread. Yeah. I've been talking back and forth to Amy Rosenthal and Dick Alton in Oak Park. And yeah. So all that information will be on one.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. So then I wanted to quickly talk about green block parties. We were contacted by a student at Concordia who's interested in an internship, and I just I didn't know if I should match her up with David or
Was she looking for a paid internship or unpaid?
Specifically interested in an internship about the Green Block Party?
She's interested in the Sustainability Commission summer and doing something in the summer. So really the only thing we have going on is really the Green Block Parties. And I think it is, I don't know if it's paid or not.
Well, I know that the Deep Roots Project does pay the people that help. When David can't do that, that you know there are other people that are paid, and so he's looking for interns. So I can certainly kind of pass that information on. Yeah. The question is, like, if she's looking for something paid, I'm not sure it's going to be a full-time gig, and I'm not sure that we're in a position to pay.
Right.
And I know increasingly, I could at least speak to the Dominican University Brennan School of Business perspective in that, and I think it's actually harder and harder, at least in the state of Illinois, to do unpaid internships because you have to meet certain requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So increasingly, students are being directed to paid work.
So I have a question. Is there any things that are being done by village staff in the sustainability department that an intern could possibly take care of in the summer from one of the colleges?
Maybe take
we
help
don't
Joan?
Have a sustainability department, first of all.
I thought you were our sustainability department.
In public works, but I don't know. You mean if the person would be hired by the village?
We'll find out, like, if we have money, if Deep Roots, if the Green Block Parties has money, and what she's looking for. But if she was looking for something more full-time or with something with more hours, could she help, you know, with the Green Block Parties from a staff perspective? That's what I'm just wondering. You know, making sure the bags are with the sorted out station
I don't know. We just set them up, you know, for each block party beforehand and then take them afterwards. So
yeah.
I don't think we need really help with that. But as far as the party as it goes on, I would look to you guys, you know.
Yeah.
Because I just don't know what's needed.
Yeah, I just didn't know if there was any office work that's being done that somebody could help. It's just really, it's so hard when
students...
Well,
Joan is doing that right now, and I think, you know, she has a pretty good handle on it.
Yeah, it would probably be more work for her to oversee somebody than to just do it. Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. To be honest, I'm just never sure what to say to students when they contact us, you know, so... I'm just throwing it out there to see if we had any ideas of a job.
Yeah, I guess maybe.
I don't know if the park district
could start off by volunteering and seeing if they actually want to do something like that. You know, a lot of times people have an idea of what something is and then they do it and it's something different. So.
Yeah, I mean, we used to have an intern from Dominican who helped with the block parties. She did everything before then Joan did it, you know, and kept the database and stuff. But we don't need that anymore. So maybe you and I should just talk and see if David could use
somebody. Yeah, I can send him an email and see if he needs any help.
Yeah.
I think it depends whether the person is looking to be paid or not, because if they're not looking to be paid, then if they're working with the commission or with Deep Roots, they're just a volunteer, right? Like a person from the community saying, I'd like to volunteer in this particular area, but if she wants to be paid, then it usually those things do require like more formal structure, and somebody has to supervise. And
right,
I wonder if we could also, since it seems like we have a hard time, we don't have a real contact at Concordia, if they could be helpful in that way to set up a little bit of, you know, kind of think about and set up a little bit of a plan of how our commission could interact better with Concordia.
That's a good
just
idea.
To bring them in. I did meet somebody at an Interfaith Green Network event who was a teacher at Concordia, and I thought I had her contact information. But, you know, just try to push that. Maybe that could be one aspect, push that forward, and that steers away from, you know, any work that, you know, they're doing something that should be paid, because it's more of a thought process than actual work.
The other option is also, I guess, to expand upon it, is to direct the person to apply for a student to be a student commissioner in the fall. Because again, if we go back to what we had envisioned, is really expanding that program beyond OPRF and having a representative from Dominican and Concordia so that they could kind of rally their individual schools.
Yeah. I guess I just got excited because it was Concordia, yeah. You know, and they reached out. Yeah. I was like, it's Concordia. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But again, I would say let me talk to, we might be able to get her a paid something through the Deep Roots Project. I don't know if it's going to be a lot of money, but it's certainly something, you know, that can, that would be more structured than anything we would do.
Okay.
I can also check, I guess, with Midwest Grows Green to see what their internship things are. Particularly with Ryan gone, they might need some extra arms and legs.
They could rebuild the carbon inventory too. I mean, I did a pass on it, but rebuild what I basically did with building the carbon inventory. Because I mean, I did it to kind of get us to where we could have something, but someone could certainly spend a lot of time, really making it super robust and getting it more towards like what Evanston has.
But that would take some supervision, though, because, like, I wouldn't know how to direct them, you know?
Yeah, and there's, I mean, I don't know what level of education they have, but there's a standard to follow.
Right.
Just kind of do minimal guidance, but.
Okay. All right. I'll see what she's interested in and if it's paid. Okay. Energy. Eric is out of town, but when he comes back, he's going to help us start working on the FAQ document that we want to put on the website. And I don't know if you want to say anything. It's kind of too soon, really, to say anything about aggregation, or if you want to say anything about that.
We're working on it.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well,
as far as aggregation goes, right now, it looks like there's one supplier that can do the green aggregation. We're just looking into if there's any other suppliers out there, just to make sure we check every opportunity. And once we figure that out, we should move forward in some capacity.
Okay. Great. So more on that too. So the next meeting, we'll talk about metrics, and then, I wanted to announce that we are taking signs, campaign signs, the week 18, well, the day after the election through the 24th.
Oh, I talked to George about that, by the way. So, he'll have the boxes out on the 16th.
Okay, great.
So the Monday.
They'll be where the holiday lights are on Central. There'll be one for, the metal stands, and then you have to separate that and put the plastic, corrugated plastic, in the other. Okay, that's all they're taking. It's a special pickup. It's for a week. Anybody can do it. You can spread the word at Planet Green. You can let Oak Park know. But Lakeshore is doing a special pickup in Lombard, and they're doing one here. So all those signs can be recycled this year. So spread the word about that. We'll have to come up with a flyer on that. Facebook or something. I can try to work on that.
I think it was already posted.
Was it posted?
Yeah, because that flyer I threw together.
Was that the one?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
perfect.
What ended up out there.
Can you just email that to me and I'll just post it?
Yeah.
And I'll send it to you guys.
So that's March 18th.
Yeah, through the 24th. And Strom is doing that just to be nice. So I was really excited about that. Because those signs are like everywhere. So, is there any other questions or anything else that anybody?
Can I just go back to the aggregation for a second? Because I'm not sure I completely understand when we say once you make sure there's, you know, you've checked out all the potential suppliers and we'll probably move forward in some capacity. What will that mean for residents? It's like a choice,
It would be an opt out situation. So right now, MC Squared is doing energy aggregation for electricity supply, and I'm not an expert on this by any means, but basically that you get green energy through them, And there's a lot of municipalities that have gone through them for this, including Oak Park.
LaGrange,
yeah. There's probably like 15 to 20, something
15.
Like that? 15, okay. So instead of going directly to them, because we know that they do this, we want to make sure, based on, you know, our internal policies, to check if there's anyone else that's doing
sure,
it.
Sure, right.
Just to make sure.
Yeah.
And if there isn't, then we'll end up likely going with them. And then it'll be like any other aggregation situation where residents will get a letter that says your energy supply is now with MC Squared, for example. If you'd like to opt out and not have them as your energy supply, then you fill something out and opt out.
So
otherwise
it'll be an opt out.
Correct.
Okay.
Huh.
So how does this relate to ComEd?
Well, ComEd is still the distributor of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
They're always the distributor everywhere, and but the supplier can change.
So this would mean that the village would have arranged that all the energy being supplied to River Forest residents is coming from MC Squared unless you opt out?
Right.
And there are 100%.
And this was done years ago,
mm-hmm.
but for cost,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get a lower cost, whereas now it would be to get green energy. And the way it's worked in all these other 15 municipalities is the rate has been either the same or lower than ComEd.
Okay. And it is green, like they're responsible for the green part of it, that it's coming from whatever renewable source.
And as far as how that works, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, you sign a 1, 2, or 3 year contract. It's what's good about MC Squared is that it's they're sourcing their renewables mostly wind from within the state. You know, it's not the perfect solution, but it's a really good start for River Forest to secure.
I mean, if we're going to do that, I think that's certainly something that will need, or you know, should be trumpeted in, but also marketed appropriately. Because, like I said, I'm just like, I don't understand how this works, and so most people will probably have that same question about how does it affect my rates, you know,
mm-hmm.
etc. So,
right.
I mean, they do the data. Yeah. And then they do the credit. They do recs for the houses that don't.
They sent something over, and I just didn't understand it, frankly, you know, what the recs mean and everything. So
yeah, I could share it with you.
Look
it's
into
really,
it.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I'll share
yeah,
it
you
with
might
you.
Understand it better.
Because I just called them and said, you know, what does this mean, you know, and because I was kind of asking dumb questions, but it's really complicated, like how they broke it down and what houses they, you know, sort out, you know, you can't, they take out any house with a B code or something, a B3 code. It's all based on use, so I can share that with
just
you.
Just one last question is that the word aggregation, what's being aggregated here? Like what
the village is.
Yeah, I think
energy,
it's just the
yeah.
term it's municipal aggregation. So you're aggregating the whole community to one supplier. I think that's why it's
so
called
we
that.
Definitely have to call it something else because.
Yeah.
You agree?
Call it something else. Yeah.
And you can opt out, but you know,
right.
if
I think what you
but
see.
But who's our supplier right now? Is it
ComEd?
Right.
It's
so our supplier
ComEd.
Is aggregated right.
So, right.
Now.
So
right.
years ago.
Is this renewable?
Supplier municipalities went out for aggregation because the rules changed and you could save money by going to another supplier, and it was purely to save money. And then the rules kind of caught up, and ComEd became basically the same cost as the other suppliers, so it reverted back to just ComEd being the supplier. And now this is a green energy situation, and this one is claiming that the cost isn't going to be any more than ComEd. So,
who does Evanston use? MC Squared.
Were they on that list? MC Squared.
I think so. Okay. Yep. I was just going to say they seem like they do their homework. So,
yeah.
Good. good people to look and see what they're doing.
Yeah, no, they're the only ones doing it right now.
I think one of the reasons why I think it's important to do the aggregation program through the village is because there's a lot of misinformation that's out there. And like, for example, like I saw something online, and I think I sent it to you, Julie, where there was a 20-year contract to get green energy. And that's like, who can commit to 20 years? And so basically, we're really pushing, I think, to do it, at least my understanding is we're pushing to do this through the village. So we can basically make sure we're with a reputable company that's not making demands on our residents that are like, you know, unduly hard. And I will say one thing, I don't think ComEd is necessarily, ComEd is aggregator of brown energy. I think we want to go with an aggregator of green energy. And I think that's a big difference.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, I equate it, you know, to the time, you know, you know, the internet was coming out, and there was AOL, and there were all these people trying to sell you service, and you're like, who do I go with? Well, within like, you know, 3 years, all these companies had failed, you know, and, you know, now you've got Comcast getting it. I mean, you have all these internet providers. So it's the energy that's coming is just, it's like that. If you tell people, it's kind of the Wild West. It's everybody trying to get into the energy game. And I think MC Squared is rising to the top. So at least through green energy aggregation, Beth. So, but that is all I have. So
I just have one more question. We talked about Earth Day. Do we have any Arbor Day activities? Because I remember reading that on.
We have an Arbor Day activity every year. So, but I don't have any information where it's going to be. It's usually a tree planting at a park or a school.
Okay, so it's kind of low key.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. I mean, we let people know about it, but a lot of times we just need to get permission from a school or a park to plant a tree and coordinate all that. And we haven't gotten our trees ordered yet, so once we do that.
And also just looping back to conversation we had before, in looking at the schools, it seems like the school that's sort of really low, if you're looking for a school to have another parkway, would be Willard. Because I couldn't find anything beyond their sort of meager garden.
So. Okay, well, we would have to do that through Green for Good. I mean, basically, if I look at the pollinator for Parkway Gardens that we're putting on school property, the one that was done at Lincoln, we put two at Lincoln at the request of the parents. And then the ones at Trinity, I had reached out because I know they had a green for, like, no, their Girls for Green or whatever they call them, and they're incorporating them into their curriculum. So happy to do it, but we would have to not do it through the school, but do it through
Green for Good.
Exactly.
Yep. You should, so you could talk to Val Smart.
Yep. And one more thing with regard to trees with Arbor Day, and I don't know how we can request this, is, I guess, to confirm, like, are we as a village selling trees to residents? And secondly, reason why, is there a way to maybe bring that program back as we have this focus on trees?
Well, we don't have a lot of space behind the garage to keep trees, so we order them, you know, for our own parkways and plant them. I don't know. I would have to talk to Mark or somebody about if that, you know, when that was done or the reason it was stopped. Or
could you look into that? Because I think, like, because at the end of the day, they actually are delivered right away. I mean, I don't think they're stored on village property when the trees are delivered to the village. At the same time, they were delivered to residents. So and it was up to the residents to get them planted.
Okay. So, I mean, well, why was it a thing? It just did the residents?
Yeah, because I guess we saved
better
money.
Better price.
And there were trees that we knew would be hardy. And for those of us that really don't know that much about trees, it was a good thing because you knew if the trees were planted by the village, we knew that they were probably trees that were would be resilient and hardy for this part of the world.
Okay, we totally help residents for, you know, give them advice and everything, you know, as needed. But are you saying they were planted by
They were delivered by whomever. Yeah. Because I did it for a number of years, so this is just my experience. We basically, an order form was delivered to people in the mail or on the website. You had to kind of provide your order form and payment by a certain time. So I think all that the village did was actually
aggregate the orders and buy in bulk. Mm-hmm. So for better pricing, and then those trees were dropped off at the residence and at home, and it was up to the resident to take it from there.
Yeah, you know, I think the Water Reclamation District does free trees as well.
So I mean, these aren't free trees. These would be just trees that we that the village purchases. Like, again, aggregation of buying power. And the only reason I want to see if it can be reinvigorated is because if we do have trees, you know, if I look at our green ecosystem and we have tree tours and we're an arbor, you know, we're now ArborNet certified and all that kind of stuff, it kind of goes with that whole thing. And there could be a really good reason why it was stopped. We just don't know. So until we explore it,
right.
I'm going to keep fighting for it. A word of warning.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just thinking of, tracking all of that, you know, could be difficult, but.
And one more thing is just, it would be a really good way to increase the diversity because, you know, if you just go to the same old stores, people are just getting all, you know, but even like within a species, because talks that I've been at, they emphasize the importance of even within a species to have a lot of diversity. So if a blight hits a particular type of tree, they're not all wiped out. So
Right. Okay. I'll look into that.
Great. Okay. Good job. Okay. Thanks.
So we're officially done?
So we adjourned at 8:10, so.